go on to the second church, the message to the church in Thyatira. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 18. As we come to this particular church, I really need your prayer. I really need your undivided attention. As I think about these seven churches, this is probably the most difficult of the seven. It's the longest of the seven. It's the one that we have some of the most stern, clear, and direct words from our Lord to a church in these seven. And so let's look and see what he has here. And to the angel of the church of Thyatira write, "These things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you, I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now, the church at Thyatira is the church, again, that wanted to compromise with the world. Rather than being a thermostat, it wanted to be and actually came to be a thermometer. You know the difference. A thermostat is that dial on the wall in your living room or in your den where you actually adjust and tell the furnace in your house what temperature you want it to be in the room. The thermometer is what actually indicates the actual temperature in the room. And rather than being the thermostat setting the culture and setting the course of the church, they became the thermometer, just adjusting to what was going on in the world. Their struggle happens still today. Rather than churches being strong, and rather than Christians being strong, we tend to adjust sometimes because we all want to be liked, don't we? And rather than being obstinate and indifferent, we just kind of want to go along hoping that people will kind of eventually catch on and get in the right flow of things. And that seemed to be what was happening in the church of Thyatira, but it wasn't working. It has been said that the church that stands for nothing will fall for anything. And I'm glad our church stands for the Word of God, that we preach it faithfully and unapologetically. And I pray that you do that in your Sunday school classes and that you always will. But we need to stand for truth even when it ruffles a few feathers. Many of you will remember the name Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was, for many years, a flaming evangelist that we used to call evangelists. These are the kind of guys that were just really, man, in your face and just saying words. They didn't really care how it came across. And Billy Sunday at times was pretty abrasive in the way he shared the word. And one time somebody tried to talk to Billy and ask him to kind of tone it down a little bit. He said, "Billy, you're rubbing the cat the wrong way." And Billy said, "Well, tell the cat to turn around." He didn't He didn't want to back down. He just wanted to keep on preaching the truth of the Word of God, regardless of how it came across. Well, he says to the angel of the church at Thyatira, write. Now, Thyatira actually means odor of affliction. Thyatira was located about 40 miles southeast of Pergamos. And so you can kind of start tracing these churches and kind of get a picture of where they were. Jesus refers to himself as the one who has these eyes, flaming fire, and this feet of a fine brass. The idea here speaks of his seeing everything, his penetrating, knowing all, and the judgment at which he is able to administer. Notice first of all here then, words of commendation. He says, I know your works. That's the first thing. We knew that was coming. That's what he's going to say. The idea of works here means I know the things that you're doing. And he knows that about us. He knows that about all these churches. Secondly, he says, I know your love. The idea of knowing our love means talking about self-sacrifice. I know your benevolent activities. I know you what you do and what good that you do toward other people. We try our best to try to help and try to minister to people. It's obviously that we can't probably be as reaching out as we might like. But there is a genuine desire in your staff and your church to reach out. And we would get this accommodation from the Lord. There's also, he says, I know your service, letter C. The idea of service here is where we get the word deacon, where we serve other people. The idea of deacons serving others. Jesus is commending this church for their service. He says, letter D there, I know your faith. The conviction that comes from truth. I know your faith. And I know your patience. We've studied this before already. I know your steadfastness. I know how you keep on keeping on, your perseverance. But then, number two there, words of complaint. The first thing that was a complaint for the church at Thyatira was their lack of conviction. Look at verse 20. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Now here then we have the focal problem of the church. The focal problem is pictured as a woman. A woman in the church that Jesus referred to as that Jezebel. Now there's a lot of discussion, you would imagine, probably in commentaries about who this woman is. Most would say that she probably wasn't really named Jezebel. But she had Jezebel-type qualities. But whatever it was, whether it was an individual and her name was actually Jezebel, or whether it was another woman in the church who had these Jezebel-type qualities about her, or whether it was a movement within the church that he described as that woman Jezebel, it obviously was something that was very, very upsetting to the Lord. And what he wanted to address here very clearly, he says, notice what he says about this, that this, whatever she is, she certainly refers to herself as a prophetess, but she's about the work of teaching and seducing. Seducing means to lead astray. My servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Now, one of the things we see in the Word of God and we see in these letters is that when people move away from the true Word of God and they enter into other kinds of work and other kinds of activity, it is often referred to as idolatry. And some of the things that this church had been getting into was very upsetting. There was a lot of badness going on in this church. From looking at this whole picture in its entirety, let me say at this point, that this refers to any individual or organization that sets itself up, again, kind of like those Nicolaitans, setting themselves up as authorities in the church. And evidently, the church in Thyatira had allowed this woman to arrive at this position of authority to the place that she was upsetting the flock. Now, for those that do not really understand what we're talking about when we think about Jezebel, let me give you just a couple of references here. You can jot them down and let me read them. 2 Kings 9:22, if you would not, just don't take the time to run there. For the sake of time, just jot that down. 2 Kings 9:22, it says, "Now it happened when Joram saw Jehu that he said, 'Is it peace, Jehu?' And so he answered, 'What peace as long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many?'" Man, there was some evil going on in the days of Israel and in the days of Jezebel. Also jot down 1 Kings 16:30-33. Listen to what it says. "Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord, more than all who were before him. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. And he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke," this is King Ahab, king of Israel, "King Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him." Now the problem here is he married this woman Jezebel. Now this real Jezebel back in the Old Testament led her husband into idolatry and doing all kinds of evil activity, and actually affected an entire nation. Now, what we find Jesus is addressing here is either an individual or a movement within the church that had totally upset the flock. Now, the problem was, not only was there lack of commitment, there was a lack of an accountability. Because here's what happened. Rather than doing what they needed to do to get this person out of the church and out of the teaching position, they just kind of let things ride, hoping that she would eventually kind of catch up to the truth. And in the process of just letting her continue on, she was totally upsetting the church. And that led Jesus to say what he said about this church. Now, I know this is very delicate. I know we have a lot of ladies in the class tonight. And I don't want you to think that Jesus is just giving a blanket condemnation to all women. That's not what he's saying here, ladies. But what he is talking about here is an actual woman or a movement within this church that had not been brought to task and had not been confronted. And as much as he's upset with this woman, he's more upset with the church for not confronting her in her evil speaking and what she was doing. Again, it's just a reminder that it's never easy. It's never easy to do church discipline. It's never easy to confront someone. I have done it. Probably some of our deacons have done it. It's never something that you don't get up in the morning and say, "Lord, give me somebody to go beat up today." You don't do that. That's not what you want to do. But there are times it needs to be done. And when people are teaching what should not be taught, whether by error or by ignorance or just by disobedience, they need to be dealt with. Now look what he says here. This is very personal. This is very serious. This is a real church that had a problem, and Jesus is telling them how bad this is. Look at verse 21. He says, "I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent." The point we need to see here is it wasn't that she was ignorant of this. It wasn't like we find sometimes in the Bible where people just didn't have the full understanding. They didn't have the full counsel of God. Here's a woman that somehow the Lord Jesus Christ had confronted, and his Spirit had dealt with her, had convicted her of her error teaching, and she refused to repent. So this is a woman who has just decided things are going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on teaching what I'm teaching. I don't care who confronts me. Even Jesus confronting her did not do any good. Look what we said. Look what we find here in verse 22. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed. Now, the best I can say to this, when we think about this sick bed, it's a bed of immorality. A bed of immorality, the best way I can describe that is, you can think about, and I don't want you really to think about it too much, but whatever immoral people do in a bed, that's the way Jesus pictures what this woman was doing to this church. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed. The idea here seems to be, she likes beds so much, I'm going to throw her in a sick bed. And those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. Now this phrase here, great tribulation, has led some to believe and teach that the church will go through at least part or some of the great tribulation that's coming, the 7 years of tribulation. Well, we're going to talk about that, but let me share with you, the fact of the matter is, this person is lost. This person does not know the Lord. This person, if she's alive at the time of the tribulation, is going to experience it. Even though she's a member of the church, if the tribulation were to happen next year, if Jesus were to come back and we enter into this tribulation period, saved people are going to be out of here. Saved people are raptured out, but even people who are members of the church, not saved, they're going to waltz right on into that tribulation period. First 3.5 years are going to be not too bad, somewhat tolerable. Last 3.5, not pleasant at all. We'll come to that in the rest of our study. We've got to move on. My time is almost gone. He says, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts. I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. Here we have an idea here. We have a church that really, there were people within the church that were staying true, staying faithful. This is not that everybody in the church at Thyatira was going to get a spanking. There were some in the church that were remaining true and remaining faithful. Let's move on to point three here, words of counsel. First word of counsel here is to remain faithful. Look what he says here, verse 24, we just read it. Stay true. Stay true to the stuff. Notice what he says here. He talks about who have not known this doctrine, not been involved in this woman. Now, if we try to get micromanaged here and try to figure out all the things that she was teaching, we could just talk about this for a long time. Let me just kind of set your mind at ease that we don't really need to try to figure out exactly what she was teaching. We just need to make sure that we understand that when error, if it ever creeps into our church, we need to confront it head on. Okay? That's the point. We don't have to be mean about it. We don't have to be belligerent about it. The problem was this church, rather than dealing with it in its infancy, let it grow to where it's full-orbed and it's fully into the church as a doctrinal position in the church. And this lady has a full teaching position. And at this point, here's probably what the church said. Man, we can't do anything about that. If we go confront her, we'll split our church. A bunch of people will leave. And that happens today. If we deal with things in its infancy, when error starts creeping in, it's a lot easier to take care of. I don't think anybody in this church wants to do anything evil. And maybe this woman didn't from the beginning, but she was allowed to just keep nurturing this evil way. And it got worse and worse. Well, Jesus said, remain faithful. Secondly, he says, remain true. Hold fast what you have until I come. But hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. Let's notice point four here. Just simply some words of closing. You can just jot a few things down there. The idea of power over the nations really speaks of the millennial reign of Christ. We'll talk about that millennial reign as we press on in deeper into the book. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. A couple of verses you might want to jot down there. Psalm 2, 8 and 9. And then Revelation 20, 4 through 6. But notice the way he ends this. In all this difficulty, in all this heaviness in this letter. Look what he says in verse 20. I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, what is the morning star? The morning star is that star that appears just before dawn. Just in the darkest part of the night is when it comes. The Bible tells us Jesus is the morning star. Listen to what the Word says. Listen to Revelation 22:16. Write that one down. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. The star comes when this morning star comes when things seem to be the darkest. And I want to tell you, folks, in the times of darkness, when there are times of evil around, and there are times that seems like the enemy is winning, that's the time we need to shine bright. That's the time that we need to keep on keeping on, remain faithful, praying to Jesus, our light, the morning star, looking to Him for direction and for guidance. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you right now, I thank you so much for this evening. I thank you, Father, through the teaching and preaching through some difficult passages that you have manifested yourself. You've given us clarity. Father, I thank you so much for your word, and may it just resonate in our hearts how important it is that each of us individually and all of us corporately stay connected to the truth of the Word of God. That, Father, we keep looking to you for guidance, for strength, for hope, and for vitality. I thank you, Father, for the trophies of your grace that are here tonight. And pray, Father, that you would just, I just pray a hedge of protection around them. You guard them from the evil one. That they would keep on keeping on and remaining strong in you. And Father, once again, if there's anyone here tonight that does not know Christ, I pray this would be their night to say yes. Yes, I want Jesus into my heart and life. For it is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.